last two questions of the Paka. That I visited the Paka the last October, and it was impressed. The Paka is a warehouse of the Paka, a bit different from 6 years ago, and how can I say, more organized and easy to look at something and on the shelf like that. So last question is about during the COVID, probably sometimes Paka closed during the COVID pandemic, at that time, how Paka could survive and also changed? It's last my questions about the Paka. During the COVID, few years, you had a hard time, I think.
It was a hard time, but it was also very convenient for us in that I had been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of changes that I wanted to make that just I didn't see how I could ever do it, because we would literally have to close our mm-hmm. doors for a period of time in order to make these changes. And it never seemed like something that could reasonably happen in terms of like the value of the change versus the loss of revenue and inconvenience for people. It just never balanced out correctly. So when we had to close, there was a period of shutdown when they just shut everything down. I could have just stayed home, but I thought, no, I'm going to go in and I'm going to do some of these things. So I had a volunteer that I was working with at the time who was also very gung-ho on this stuff. And we just, the entire time that the everything was shut down, we just went in every day and transformed the interior of the place and put some thought into, like, where should things go and how could we lay out the store so that it was more convenient to navigate and make sense of. And then we just did it. It was just the two of us. And it enabled, I guess, a kind of a reorganization that really would never have happened otherwise. Mm. So in that sense, it was good. I mean, it also, we lost volunteers and people just kind of got out of the habit of doing some of the things that we were doing and moved on to other things. So it affected us negatively in that sense, but it was positive in the sense that we were able to like really consciously reorganize the place and make it more usable. And that has stood us in good stead ever since, I think.
It is a kind of a good opportunity to reorganize consciously. But how, for example, what did you change? How did you organize a lot of material in the warehouse of the Paka? And how did you organize for?
Well, we organized it. The way the building was used grew, I would say, organically since we started using it. The first volunteers that went in there, they came up with a plan and they set things up according to the plan. But as we acquired more material, one thing to realize is that originally when they first started doing that part of it, the saving of old house parts and selling them, it was never really an intentional process. It just started out by accident. The volunteers would save things. They see houses coming down and they go, oh, we should save this, and then take it home. And not because they wanted to use it, but just because they wanted to save it. So for a while, in the early days of Paka, there were maybe a half dozen volunteers who just had their garages full of stuff that they had collected. And they didn't really know what to do with it, so they would start having, these regular garage sales. So it would be this person's house mm-hmm. 1 week and then this person's house another week. And then some enterprising volunteers borrowed a space. They talked to somebody who had some extra room and said, can we put our stuff there? And they brought all their stuff there and started selling it from there. And then we moved around till we bought this place. So the salvage activities have grown exponentially over time.
Mm.
We didn't used to do that very much. And it was always sort of a side effect of just losing houses and just wanting to save things. It didn't become an organized business for a long time. So when we first got that space, they were convinced that we would never need any more space than that, that we had more space than we could ever possibly use. And in a few short years, it was full of stuff, and we ended up having to rent another space to store extra things. And so the way the place was set up was totally inadequate, and it just grew as more and more things came in. They just started creating more places to put them. And it didn't make any sense, and it didn't really fit the building at all. It was just, it's just what it ended up happening, you know. And that's what I kind of inherited when I started running the place. So the way we reorganized was to reorient all the aisles to go in the same direction. Because before it was a little cluster of shelving like this, and then a little cluster like this, and you know, and it just, you couldn't find your way around. So we oriented all the aisles to go utilize the windows so that the light could come in and go down the aisle, and we didn't need to rely so much on the lighting to see where you were with things. And then we took stock of all the things we had and tried to think of how to group them in some way that made sense. So it would be all wood trim here, all the doors here, all the windows there, you know, all, you know, things in areas that made sense for, if you're looking for hinges and door parts, they're all in the same area. Doorknobs, door plates, door hinges, doors, all in one area. So as to what kinds of things we have, it's really anything that our volunteers see in an old house or building that's being torn down that we think somebody might be able to use. So it's standard house parts, wood trim, doors, windows, hardware of various sorts, lights, light fixtures, light parts, and then just random pieces of things, just things that somebody might use for a hobby or something artistic or whatever, you know. We just, anything we pick up, somebody thinking somebody might be able to use it for something. You were talking about the DIY culture before. I mean, there are a lot of artists and art adjacent, I would call them, crafty people who make things that are sort of artistic, but they aren't really art in the standard sense of the word. They're just decorative objects, useful objects made in a decorative way. And so we provide bits and pieces of things that you could, you know, decorate your objects with, your bookshelf or your coat rack or your something.
Yeah, very interesting, because when I visited the Parker the first, probably 15 years ago like that, at that time the Parker was open just 2 days per week, Wednesday and Saturday like that.
Right.
And and then the more just put the something that useful and useful, we don't know, but just put the things a lot of, like that warehouse. But after you become the executive director, the Parker becomes 5 days open for per week, like that. And during the COVID, probably you as you said, more organized and many things divided group. And so that's the people who visit the Parker the first time, easy to find what kind of things are there for what. And if it is difficult to realize the, understand the, you are there, you mean Thompson is there, Mr. Garza is there, so people could ask. So more, there's some functional, like easy to access to the goods. And also the Parker is like a corner shop, people just dropping and look at and talk with you, like that. And so such kind of place. And as you said, the first and the younger generations, more interested in vintage. Vintage, it means not antique. Antique sometimes not easy to get, but real antique, but vintage is such kind of easy to use for themselves, then more interesting. So Paka is such kind of place. Not necessarily antique, but vintage or sometimes easy to use the creatively for their own purpose like that. So I'm very interested in the price. Arigatou gozaimasu.